Rutherford Issues on News Radio WGNS.
Rutherford Issues is powered by Middle Tennessee Electric. MTE's EV Car Club has hundreds of members and growing. EV owners, enthusiasts, and anyone interested in learning more about electric vehicles is encouraged to sign up at mte.com/EV Car Club. Well, our subject today, Rutherford County Schools. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about Jazz Fest today with school board member Tammy Sharp and other things. So, Tammy, it's good to have you back.
Thank you for having me.
It's a busy day for you and for others who are helping to put on Jazz Fest.
It's a busy day. Dr. Halford and I just wrestled a pod and put some equipment in the pod before I came over here.
So oh, yeah?
We're getting our steps in and our muscles today.
I bet. That's tonight, 6 until 10 this evening and 11 until 6 tomorrow. And we'll talk more about that and talk about some of the acts and things of that nature. And since you're wearing an Oakland Middle shirt, looks like they're going to be at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow, yes. Yeah. The middle schools are on Saturdays.
That's going to be a fun event. We'll touch on that coming up here in just a few. And we were just kind of talking before that the state legislature, General Assembly, has ended the session, of course. And, you know, it's been one that has had a lot of discussion about schools.
A lot. We were talking earlier about, I was shocked that the vouchers didn't get passed, but the gun bill did.
Yeah.
So I would have thought, like you, it would have been the other way around.
The other way, yeah. I did see that, you know, James Evans in the communications department put out a statement on behalf of the school system, you know, in anticipation that was going to be passed. And I think that was mainly for areas that had, you know, rural schools and things of that nature. And we obviously have SROs in the schools.
Correct. So. And that was the intent for the law, was that the rural counties that don't have SROs, and sometimes it takes 20 minutes or 15 minutes or longer respond time than what we have. Of course, we have the SROs and have now for decades, almost three decades, and they're phenomenal. You know, in my opinion, I don't know if we need vouchers or the gun bill. I don't think either one of them is going to apply to Rutherford County. So I have received a lot of phone calls, and I know other school board members have as well.
Yeah, on both of those?
On both of those.
Mm-hmm. What are people saying about the bill that would allow, in some cases, but I mean, the superintendent or director of schools and the sure. leading law enforcement agency in that area have to all agree on that, and the principal.
And the principal. So I've heard it's a non-starter. I've not spoken directly with the sheriff, but it's a non-starter for him. It's a non-starter for Dr. Sullivan as well. So when you have those two, you know, I could see in some cases, I spoke to a teacher yesterday. I said, look, I can see in some cases where this would be appropriate. We have who want to carry. Now, it's all volunteer.
Sure.
It's not something you have to. And I carry because I'm out by myself a lot. And, you know, I support that. But if you don't want to carry, don't carry. If you don't want a gun, don't get one. But I see, you know, when I travel around, I see our coaches. They're out on the football field. They're out on the baseball field late at night. You know, they're on their own premises there a lot of times by themselves when there is no security there. So I could see, you know, where they might want to do something like that in some cases.
Sure.
In some cases. But mainly the calls that I've got were pro, but I'm sure that there's others that got calls that were not favorable for.
Probably so.
Yeah.
You also mentioned that you got a lot of calls on the school voucher program, which, of course, that the governor, it wasn't going to pass, and so he said maybe let's try this next year, whether that happens or not, who knows. But I want to go back to what you said. You know, it's like we don't really need them here. What do you mean by that?
I don't think that we need them in Rutherford County because, look, our schools are full. We need to build schools. We don't need vouchers. I mean, you know, even some of the charter schools that are open in the fall, they're already full and they have wait lists. Now, of course, their capacity is a lot smaller than what we
sure.
have, a lot lower. But we need to build schools here. And I think by people moving here by the droves like they are, they're happy with our school systems. It's not without, you know, issues here or there, but they're happy with that or they wouldn't be moving here. It's not just because it's a great area to live in. We have really, really good schools. So, you know, people have options. I have an option to take my son out when what was not working with him because he had a learning disability. I took him out and put him in a smaller school where he could have a little bit more individualized teaching. And I was fearful that he wasn't going to graduate, that he would just drop out of school and not graduate. So I feel like what I did was right. And I feel like the parents should have the choice to be able to do that, because where I was paying for the private school, I was also still paying my taxes that support the public schools. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's that. And I support our parents who want to homeschool. If they want to send their kids to a parochial school, if they live in our districts, they're still our constituents and we still represent them. People don't think about it that way, but we're elected for a certain geographical area. And if they don't go to Rutherford County Schools, they're still our constituents. So we work for the schools, but they're still our constituents.
Right.
And they're going to come to us if they have some issues, you know, from other things. But they're still our constituents. Where our main focus is the county schools. But I have people calling about homeschooling, or they want to pull their kid and stay home. Like when they're sick, I can't remember the name of it. They want to stay home. It's something that they need to do. So our school systems, we have the virtual school. We don't just offer the day school.
Sure.
So
the voucher bill, would that have, in terms of the number of kids that are in Rutherford County Schools, would, if that had passed, would that make that number go higher or lower? Or how do you think it would affect county schools?
I honestly think that people that already have their students in a private school that can afford it, obviously, and some people can't, but I mean, they make their sacrifice. But I honestly think that those people would probably apply for the vouchers.
And it would be those who are already paying.
It would be those that are already paying. I think it's a little bit disingenuous with the vouchers for the Title I or lower social economical, because there's no busing. You know, if you go to a private school, they don't have free and reduced lunch. They don't have a lot of the benefits that the public school has. Mm-hmm. And they're not mandated to. So, okay, you give them a voucher to go to a school, but what are they going to do?
If they can't afford lunch.
Yeah, if they can't afford to buy lunch, and if they can't, you know, I could see where they can give them a voucher to go to that school, but $7,000, I don't know if you checked the private schools around here, but that's probably, you might can get it at Franklin Road for $7,000, but most of the private schools around here are $10,000, $12,000 and above.
And so you would still have to subsidize that. And I'm sure it would be a help for those students. But what I think was concerning, especially to, you know, school systems, is those are kids who are already in a private school. But then if you take the money out of the school system budget, I mean, we would never get schools built in time, right?
Well, and that's true. And there is some funding in TESA now for capital projects, but it's not enough. It's never going to be enough.
Never.
I mean, our county, you know, I mean, I drove Waldron Road, and Arbortown over there has like 11,000 units. They've pulled 11,000 permits. So that means housing, apartments, condos, and there's going to be some retail over there. And, you know, we're already packed at the north end of the county.
I wonder, I had, and I cannot remember who it was, not that it really matters, but we were having a discussion about this, and it was like, you know, if these big developments are coming in, there needs to be, and this was them speaking, I thought I'd get your opinion on this. If you're going to build, let's take that for instance, then there needs to be property set aside for a school
and
or something like that.
A lot of the municipalities in other areas have that, and that's something that we need to look at, because this is not digging out of this hole of needing the schools. It's not one pill. It's not the facilities use tax. It's not raising taxes. It's not just one thing. It's going to take a lot, because we're looking at schools now costing $160 million mm-hmm. to build a high school. That's just insane to me. It's insane. And when the school board members, when we travel for different summits and things like that across the United States for our school board training, people are just like, they can't believe how much it costs.
Wasn't it like $80 million or somewhere around that for Rockvale?
Yes.
And so now it's almost
it's doubled
that.
Yeah, it's doubled. And then you have the supply chain issues with that. So
it's there's not really a magic bullet here or magic
wand.
It's
not. And that's when I know people were mad at me over the charter schools, but that was one of the reasons that I was favorable to them, because they come in and they buy our build. And our taxpayers are not going to be levied that money to do that. Yes, if something happens with the school, if they close, that building is theirs. It is theirs because they bought it or they built it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, now that the TESA follows the child, the money follows the child, it's just going to follow them to the charter school if a parent chooses to go to the charter school. Because they're public schools.
And if those schools aren't there, like you said, if it's not successful or whatnot, and they move back to the county system, it follows them back here.
It does.
And honestly, what would you say? There are three and maybe three. Another coming.
Three
at
and
some
one
point.
One potential that would maybe open next year.
And so how many students are we talking? A few hundred?
Right now, each one of them, I think, has between 300 and 500 students that they're going to take for enrollment this year. I know the Rutherford Collegiate that's on Munson Pike, it's full and it has a wait list already. I spoke with Matt Harriman last week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about Springs. Springs is in that kind of quad there with David Urey, Thurman Francis, Smyrna Middle. It's right in that area. We're a Boys and Girls Club. I hear that they're close to being full. And then Rutherford Classic Academy, American Classic Academy, I'm sorry, they all have acronyms.
Yeah.
American Classic Academy Rutherford, which bought the Ingram Entertainment Building. It's a beautiful building down off of Hall Quaker in Laverne. They're still accepting applications, but they're getting close to the point of being full.
So let's use a round number, 1,500.
I'd say 1,500.
That's about the size of an elementary school and
it,
a half.
It is,
so.
But it is also what we grow between May and
well,
August.
That was going to be my point, is, yeah. You know, just trying to look at the numbers there. You know, so, and they're going to be at a capacity, you know, and those students, even if they stay and they go through the several, all the different grades, it's just going to be that group of 500 that kind of move through that school throughout, and some come and go, but it's really a very small dent, I guess, is my thing.
It is. I'm hoping, you know, especially on the north end, that we will get at capacity. I'm told the building that ACAR has is like 100,000 square foot building. So they have a capacity to take on a lot more students than what they're approved for at this point.
We've got Tammy Sharp joining us today, Rutherford County School Board member. I've been, of course, doing the high school sports games. We've been over to Oakland and Riverdale of late, and the work is going mighty quick on that, and in Smyrna as well on the additions there. So it's just unbelievable for me to think about these schools are going, I guess they're already there in terms of enrollment, 2,500 or so.
They are. And
is there any concern about them being that size? Because
yes,
2,500 is going to be 2,800 probably, right?
Well,
at some point.
We are looking at smaller models. That's not going to make some people happy, but because we'll have to build another school if we go with a smaller model. We had spoken about before going to a smaller model because it is hard to maintain that number of children. It's hard for security. It's hard for our administrators. It's a lot of people. It's a lot of people.
Now, when you say smaller model, what does that look like?
Just smaller capacity.
Okay.
Smaller capacity. So, you know, because 2,500 students, that's a lot of students. I mean, I don't know what business to compare it to, but it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. I mean, it could be like a Dave Ramsey or something like that. He's branched out into 3 or 4 buildings. I was down 65 the other day, and he had that one building, that main building, but he's built a second one and then a third one up on the hill. I mean, I don't know how many people that work for him, but 2,500 is a lot of students.
Yeah.
Because then you put your administration on top of that. And there's probably 150 admin that are on top of that with your teachers and principal and assistant principals. So
there's
a lot of people in one building.
You know, if you go onto the website of some of these schools and look at their administration, I mean, there are lots of assistant principals, but there has to be,
There has to be. Yeah. And that's the thing, because, you know, we do have students that say it's just too big. It's too big. I feel like I'm a number here. And I get it. And that's one of the reasons some of our students go to Holloway, because it's a much smaller school, more personable. And it doesn't have all the bells and whistles and everything to it, but they have a sense of community at that school. Not saying that the other ones don't, but it is smaller and more personable.
And that's why Eagleville is such a hot ticket.
Oh, it is. And look, when I first got elected, I went down there to their festival and I was like, I'd love to move down here. But then, that was 2018. I think an acre was like $300,000 then. The house and the acre. So that was a lot back in 2018. I mean, it's a lot now, but
sure.
They are trying to keep their growth small.
Well, we went to do a baseball game there a few weeks ago, and just right across the highway is a ton of condos that have just gone in up there. So, you know, people are finding, so the overcrowding issue is at all corners of the county.
It is. And I'm up on the north end that used to be so quiet you could sit on the patio and you never heard anybody. But when they put the bridge in it near Shrevman, between Mason and Murfreesboro Road, now that goes back to Lake Forest, and it's almost like Interstate 40 down through there. When I walk my dog, I'm fussing at y'all. If I ever y'all find me knocked out, it's because I'm fussing at the people speeding down through there, because we got 9 bus stops there in that little area where the condos are, and people just fly down through there. So you know, it's so close to Davidson County, you know, a lot of that traffic and everything spills over. So.
I just saw a text here and I had forgotten about this, but last week there was talk about taking up about busing, and that all of that has been set aside.
It
right?
has been set aside.
Changing
and
busing.
I think we're probably the only ones that don't do the parent responsibility zone. And we may look at something else. I mean, our budget for busing is a lot. It's $20, $30 million. So where it may be appropriate in some of the other counties because they have the infrastructure, we just don't. We just don't. And, you know, I feel like...
Well, you walking along the highway there, or the road, just kind of made me think about that whole thing. And that was been the big argument, I would think.
And we
right?
do have a few sidewalks there in Laverne in that area, but not all right. of them, but not all of the streets. 73rd doesn't have it, but near Shrevman for those, we call them the tall and skinnies by KFC. They do have sidewalks there, but not everything there. But, I mean, I think it's appropriate if you had the infrastructure and you could walk to school, but we just don't have that here. We just don't. And it, you know, our jobs as board members, I feel like, my opinion only, is to look at things where we can save money. It's got to be safe. It's got to be smart, and it's got to be the right thing to do. So, okay, we can look at it. There wasn't a lot of savings, in my opinion, on that proposal. And so that's one of the reasons why I think that I'm thinking it's dead.
Now
it's gone to summer
time.
Study.
Yeah.
It's gone to summer study like the legislature.
Well, and just so people that are listening know, that is done with Murfreesboro City Schools.
I mean, it is.
But they have a city infrastructure, so it is different, and I get that. But thanks to that 0409 for texting that just to get that out there, because I don't know that everybody, we heard about it,
right.
And then maybe not everybody
right.
knows.
And people are going in 90 different, I mean, I'll have someone tomorrow say, I didn't know anything about Jazz Fest. I was like, we've talked about it at nausea. My friends are like, shut up. I'm like, tell me shut up Sunday. But, you know, because everybody's busy. They got ball games. They got family issues. And they've got different, you know, my neighbor was, I said, you coming to Jazz Fest? She goes, no, we're going to go to Florida. I'm like, okay. So people are starting, you know, the weather's good, that it's turned and everything, and they're starting to do a lot of outside activities. And, you know, we've got a middle school somewhere that's going to Dollywood, and there's so much going on this weekend everywhere. So, you know, and it's hard to keep up with things on this. It is hard to keep up with things on the school board, because nobody wants to watch our meetings and, you know, find out what's going on. They kind of need the bullet points.
Right. Well, hopefully this offers an opportunity for some of that and other avenues. Let's not let our time get away so we can talk about Jazz Fest. It's tonight, 6 until 10, 11 until 6 tomorrow over at the Fountains. And kind of walk us through what you want to tell us about on Jazz Fest.
So this year we were fortunate enough, because last year, you know, we took it over.
In a haste.
Yes. And with my cancer diagnosis this year, I feel like we're kind of in the same spot. But we were fortunate enough that we could raise the money to bring in the headliners, because the purpose of the headliners historically has been for the kids to come and play and then to see them come and play as a professional act, because, you know, this, you can't take them to Printer's Alley or something like that to see a jazz band. It's not somewhere that, you know, normally we would take our kids. So we did have, it's Run for Cover, David Sanborn Tribute Band, and Carl Wing Rubber and Friends. I never got his name right. But then Saturday we're going to have Belmont University Jazz Band is coming.
Oh, cool.
And then Michael Fair Combo. So they're going to start at 5 o'clock. We'll probably go late. You know, musicians, we'll probably go late. Well, something will happen, we'll go late. But this has always been for the kids, and that's one of the reasons people like, well, why don't you have food vendors and things like that? It's another level of things that we have to take care of. And really, our purpose is there for the kids to be able, this is their Super Bowl, to show their talent and to be able to learn how to act professionally and have an audience.
And there's some good places to eat in the fountain.
Oh, there's some phenomenal places. So, y'all, goodness gracious, this one tomorrow morning, go and have you some breakfast and then stroll on over. We've got chairs. If you want to bring a chair, if you got a favorite chair, you can bring it. Five Daughters is not opening this week, so we dodged a bullet on that one. Do you know Five Daughters?
I haven't heard about that.
Well, no. There it's like a cronut. So it's puff. It's the puff pastry levels of it.
And, oh, wow.
Is
it opening in the fountains?
Delicious. It is opening in the fountains, but they didn't get quite ready. So, yeah. But they have a sushi place. They also have a pasta place.
Love Thai. I ate there last weekend.
Love Thai is
wonderful.
Gosh. It's wonderful. And they have the soda bar that has ice cream and sodas and snacks and things like that. So it's, and then of course, if you want to go upscale, they've got the steakhouse. It's on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would say go and do it, because look,
and a nice coffee from Just Love.
Just Love. Oh, they have a great it's like a caprese. It's mozzarella, tomato, and basil, and they put it between bread, and then they put it in the waffle iron and heat it up. It's with balsamic vinaigrette. It's phenomenal.
I bet.
So yeah, stroll on over there. Because look, if the fountains, Scott Graby didn't give us the fountains, there's no way that we could have pulled this out, because there's not another venue.
Mm-hmm.
And it would have cost us $15,000 to $20,000 just for a venue.
And so a great day. Great evening this evening. You've got a lot of the high school bands going on tonight. Laverne, Riverdale, Smyrna, Rockvale, and Oakland. And then tomorrow, you've got Rocky Fork Middle School, Blackman Middle School, PCA, Blackman High School, Laverne Middle, Whitworth Buchanan Middle School, Siegel High School, St. Rose of Lima, Rockvale Middle, Siegel Middle, Oakland Middle, and then the other acts that you kind of mentioned there. So a good day to see these young people and support them.
And in between, and all on top of all of that, we have two proms. Tonight's Eagleville's prom, and tomorrow night's Smyrna's prom. So y'all come early to get a good parking place. We're going to have parking in the field behind the fountains. It's not going to be in the field closest to Thompson Lane, like we did last year, because they've already broken ground on that second building.
I noticed.
And so when I was there this morning, they put a fence up between the time I was there earlier this week and today. So they've got all that roped off. But bring a chair. The weather, we've just been blessed for the last 2 years not to have rain and to have really good weather.
I know. Yeah, certainly have. Well, Tammy, it's been fun having you. You mentioned prom. By the next time we have someone from the school board on, we'll be after graduations.
Yeah.
So those are coming up.
We also have people all the time. Why don't you have it later? Well, we can't go any later in May. We could have gone one more weekend for Jazz Fest, but the rest of the month is graduations, and it's full. So, and you can't go any earlier because of testing. So we really have a window of about 2 weekends.
Yeah, that's about it, really, isn't it?
So, yeah.
Well, great fun today, and thanks for stopping in. It's been good talking to you.
Thank you for having me. Hope to see everybody out today.
Absolutely. Jazz Fest at the Fountains, borojazzfest.com, by the way, if you want to find out more and see all the information that we talked about here. And that will wrap up the show. Thank you so much for being a part of it today, and we will see you back here next time on News Radio WGNS.